So what happened to Christmas? You notice when we began the gospel, the good deacon said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the reading from the gospel of St. Mark. It's the beginning. So why doesn't St. Mark include Christmas? He skips over it. We don't know why exactly. Perhaps St. Mark wanted us to focus on why Christ came, rather than to focus on the wonderful celebration of Jesus' birthday, the charm of the nativity scene, and so on. Rather, to focus on why he came, to forgive our sins and to offer us the hope of everlasting life. So we're confronted then on this second Sunday of Advent with the frightening figure of John the Baptist. Now, John was the prophet foretold to prepare the way of the Messiah. Here John appears in the wilderness, so in this desert area along the River Jordan near Jerusalem. The wilderness, not some luxurious place, but the desert wilderness, when one has to think of survival. John appears in this camel hair kind of garment with a belt around his waist. For a good Jew, the Jew would think, that's how Elijah appeared. Elijah looked that way. Is John Elijah? After all, the scribe said Elijah would have to come first before the Messiah. Later in the gospel, Jesus, in referring to John, will say he was the Elijah. Elijah came. John also eats these locusts and wild honey. Now, kids might think that's sort of really gross, but in the area of Palestine, there are many locusts, grasshoppers, and to this day, they sauté them, fry them, dip them in chocolate, and eat them. They're rich in protein. And this wild honey might not be so much just honey, but really like a plant, like a honeysuckle, high in fiber. So here you have this rich protein, high in fiber diet. Something to remember in the new year when you want to lose weight. It's a wonderful diet. So, here's John. But what's the message? Repent. Prepare your way for the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. So my brothers and sisters, when we look at this, you and I have to remember that Christ did come at that first Christmas. Christ suffered, died, and rose for our salvation. He has come to each one of us through our baptism. Unlike the baptism of John, which was just a ritual washing symbolic of forgiveness of sin, our baptism is sacramental. Through baptism, original sin and all sin was washed away. The divine life of God, sanctifying grace, was infused into our soul. We were recreated, reborn as a child of God. We were made a member of the church. We were given this sacred seal, this character on our soul, identifying us as that child of God, as a Christian, as a member of the Catholic Church. But now, this Advent, given all of that, we prepare again. Yes, we prepare that Christ is spiritually going to be born this Christmas. We want to celebrate it like it's happening again. But we remember, too, that Christ will come at the end of time, just as St. Peter recounts in his epistle, to come to judge the living and the dead. That Christ will come. And maybe that end time might not be the end of the world time. It might be when we leave this life and have to face judgment. So we have to get ready. And that means to heed the words of John the Baptist and repent. First of all, to repent. That means this Advent season, you and I, if we're really sincere, have to not focus on the gift-giving, the decorating, the partying, and so on, but to focus on our soul. After all, that grace of baptism can well be tarnished. Tarnished due to sin. We have to admit that. So the repentance is to recognize that sin, repent of it, and seek forgiveness. You and I, and I mean that, you and I, have to do a little examination of conscience. Ask yourself, since your last confession, have you really made God the number one priority in life? Taking time to pray each day. Taking time for Sunday Mass. Time for study or reading of sacred scripture. Remember, those four marks of the dynamic Catholic of Matthew Kelly include 15 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of either study or reading sacred scripture, spiritual reading, whatever. Has God been number one priority? Then, have I lived in accord with my vocation, be it priest, be it spouse, be it a parent, be it just a single person, whatever it is? Have I really lived my vocation? Have I given into what we call the seven capital sins, or it could be those seven dispositions, those weaknesses, those vices towards sin? Pride, anger, envy, greed, sloth, gluttony, lust. We all struggle with such things. Have we fully lived the commandments? So, not just the point blank, thou shalt not steal, but the fullness of the commandment. For instance, being totally just and honest in everything. And we could go on. Simple examination. But given that, taking the time to do that honest examination, to make the time to go to confession, to confess our sins, receive absolution. How beautiful it is when we hear the words of a priest really speaking for Christ, saying, I absolve you from all your sin. And it's done with. The past is gone. We're born again. Sin washed away by the blood of Christ and that grace restored into our life. Now, I know that being a parish priest, sometimes people may have forgotten about confession for a good number of years even. Don't let that stop you. The priest is always there to help. There are little pamphlets that we even have by our confessionals about how to examine the conscience, how to go to confession. Take the time to look at those, take one home, prepare yourself. But again, the priest is there to help. I know people get nervous when they come to confession. More than one occasion, I've had someone come in, sit down, instead of saying, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, they say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. And I'm like, thank you, I'm hungry, let's eat. But people do get nervous. Sometimes I know someone may have had a bad experience. Maybe a priest was a little grumpy. Well, we are human beings. I know you think we aren't, but we are human beings. It can happen. But don't let that stop you from confession. A priest is a priest. So just like once when I was in the first years of college, I had a bad experience with a dentist. That didn't mean I stopped going to the dentist. I changed dentists, and I still go. For anything, we've all had bad teachers, bad employers. Did that stop us from education or stop us from working? Why would we not go to confession just because of bad experience? It's a pretty poor excuse when we think about it. But then, too, what's really problematic and what's really the hard nut to crack is the person who thinks, I have no sin. Well, if you don't have any sin, let me know and I'll put a statue of you somewhere with a nice rack of candles so we can make some money off of your pride. Really? No, we all have sin. And if you don't think you have sin, please ask the person who's with you tonight, maybe now, maybe after Mass, honey, do I have any sins? Hopefully, honey will be very honest with you and tell you what the sins are. Or maybe the person says, well, I don't agree with what the church says is a sin. Well, my brothers and sisters, I wouldn't want to stand before our Lord and say, well, Lord, I disagreed with your word of God, and said, this isn't a sin when you said it was, or what the church taught. Jesus is going to say, it's my word, why are you disagreeing with it? They're my commandments, why are you disagreeing with them? And then, too, the person might say, well, why do I have to confess to a priest? Why can't I say, oh, I'm just sorry? Well, confessing to a priest, remember, is part of the sacrament. Our Lord gave us 7 sacraments, just like he gave us baptism. On the night of Easter, Jesus, having forgiven our sins on the cross, having risen from the dead, appeared to the apostles, and the first thing he said was, receive the Holy Spirit. What sins you forgive, they are forgiven. If Jesus said that to the apostles and he instituted the sacrament, why wouldn't we? Now ask yourself this. If that's the idea that you have, I don't need to confess my sins to a priest. What happens when you're dying? Would you ask a priest to come to you to give you the last rites? Well, if you're going to ask a priest to give you the last rites to prepare you for death, why wouldn't you ask a priest to forgive your sins? So the key is, our challenge this second Sunday of Advent is to really repent, to prepare the way for the Lord to come again into our own lives. But there's another challenge here, in that you and I have to take on that role of John the Baptist. You and I have to prepare the way of the Lord and be the prophet. That's part of our baptismal identity. Jesus is priest, prophet, and king, and we share in his work through our baptism, and so we're called also to take on that role of prophet and prepare the way. You and I well know, Christmas celebration can be a celebration totally without the Christ. We can have decorations, parties, everything without Jesus. So you and I have to bring Jesus into this season. When you greet someone, be the prophet who says, Merry Christmas. Be the one who sends the greeting card that has the nativity scene on it, something religious, and sign it, May God bless you, or I'll be praying for you this Christmas. Maybe have one of the magnets that the Knights of Columbus have been selling on your car that says, Keep Christ in Christmas. Don't be afraid to be the prophet in your own little world, whether it's your family or your workplace, your school. A little challenge for you is this, especially if you're a teenager. You get to go to school, you get to wear what you want. Well, maybe have some kind of a religious t-shirt or sweatshirt that has some Christmas message on it, or something that's just Catholic on it. And people may ask you, what's that about? A chance to prepare the way for the Lord. Or I know some of you will be traveling this Christmas time to be with family. Well, we all have family that have gone astray, including myself. That's a real challenge. What if the ones that you're visiting don't go to church anymore? Do you say, well, guess I won't go to Mass on Christmas Day? No. Instead, you say, do you want to come with me to Mass on Christmas Day? And if they don't want to come with you to Mass on Christmas Day, you can go to Mass, call a taxi, borrow a car, walk, whatever. But that's the message we have to bring. Otherwise, we cop out. We cave into society. That's not the role of being a prophet. We never know when we might bring a soul back. And that's part of the challenge, too. Maybe we know someone in our own family, especially, that has gone astray. Wouldn't it be good if by God's grace, we could find the opportunity to talk with that person very compassionately, very sincerely, and just say, isn't it time to come back to church? Don't you need Jesus in your life? Isn't it time to repent of this sin, this lifestyle, because it's heading towards destruction? Have you ever thought about what happens after you die? Don't you need Christ now? I'll give you a little story. And it coincides with the feast day we celebrate on December 7th, and that's the feast day of St. Ambrose. He was one of the great bishops and doctors of our church. He lived in the 300s. He lived during the time after Christianity was legalized, yet still the Roman Empire had a lot of paganism in it. But he was the Archbishop, Bishop of Milan, which was one of the subcapitals of the Roman Empire. He had frequent contact with the imperial family. St. Ambrose was a great preacher. Because of his preaching, in the year 387, he converted St. Augustine, who was a hard nut to crack. But in the year 390, the Emperor Theodosius committed a grave sin. A charioteer, so one of our modern-day athletes, this charioteer was arrested by the Roman governor in Thessalonica. And the people were upset because he was supposed to be in the chariot races. So they had the demonstration. They murdered several Roman soldiers, even the governor himself. Theodosius said, "I'll suppress this." So the next time they had the chariot races with 10,000 people in the stadium, Theodosius had the Roman soldiers go in and slaughter them all. Men, women, children, innocent, guilty, didn't matter, slaughter them all. Ambrose heard of this, and Ambrose wrote to Theodosius, "What has been done at Thessalonica is unparalleled in the memory of man. You are human, and temptation has overtaken you. Overcome it. I counsel, I beseech, I implore you to penance. You who have so often been merciful and pardoned the guilty have now caused many innocent to perish. The devil wished to wrest from you the crown of piety, which was your manifest glory. Drive him from you while you can." Shortly thereafter, Theodosius came to the cathedral in Milan for Mass. Ambrose, dressed in all his bishop's regalia, met him at the door and said, "You have sinned. You are excommunicated. You need to do public penance." Imagine that. Theodosius could have said, "Off with his head." But he didn't. He took it to heart. He repented. He did public penance for months, but then was reconciled. 3 years later, Theodosius would die, having received the last rites from St. Ambrose, and he would die in the arms of St. Ambrose. St. Ambrose saved a soul. My brothers and sisters, isn't that our challenge too? So as we're here, having completed 1 week of Advent, you and I have to ask ourselves, have we taken time to repent of our own sin and really be prepared for the coming of Christ again this Christmas? Have we also taken on the role of the prophet to not only prepare the way of the Lord through just how we live, how we speak, but to go to that person we know whose soul is in jeopardy and try to bring that soul back to the grace of God? If we can do this, if we can truly do this, then we'll know the joy of Christmas. And the flames of this Advent wreath, so brightly lit, will be a flame in our heart. We'll know the love of Christ. May God bless you.